If you read it in your, from Luke chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, if you read this in your daily devotional, you may go through and say, well, this is interesting. You kind of blow right through it, right? But when you dig in, there's such power here. So much powerful stuff. Let's read it together. I'll read out loud if you want to follow along. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, talking about Jesus, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to the partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled the boats so that they began to sink. A lot of fish. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed. So the scene here that Luke is describing for us is that the crowds are around Jesus and they're pressing in on him. These are hungry people. And they're not part of that crowd we read about in the Gospels of people hungering for healings and deliverance. They're hungering for the Word of God, is what Luke chapter 5, 1 says. And this is actually a rare scripture. We don't see this very often in the Bible, where they come to Jesus hungering for the Word. And that's where we find them here. And so I guess right out of the starting blocks here, as we think about this scripture, question we can ask each other is, how hungry are you? Right? How hungry are you? In our families, maybe you guys are the same way, it's nothing for us to drive an hour to go to a restaurant. If it's worth it, if it's good food, we'll go to Allentown, Reading, Harrisburg. We've got a really great favorite restaurant in Harrisburg we go to. I don't know if you would agree with this, but if it was really good food, I'd be willing to drive even farther than an hour for a good meal. Anybody with me in that? Are you a foodie like me? Okay. There's this restaurant in Harrisburg. I hesitated to use this as an illustration because I don't want you thinking about food the rest of the sermon, but this is a good one to help us think this through. Now, I've traveled through much of the U.S., lived in 6 states, traveled internationally a bit, and there's a restaurant in Harrisburg that has the best beef, steak, and prime rib I have ever had in my life. It's called the Glass Lounge Restaurant. It's easy to get to, and no promotional fee was not paid by them for this sermon. You guys in Carlisle, right? It's not too far for you. Just hop right on 81. It's right at that exit there near the river. And I'm telling you, if you said to me, if you called me up, I was in the middle of cooking dinner already, and you said, "Hey, Pastor, I want to take you to the Glass Lounge restaurant for dinner," I'd be like, "Okay, let's go right now." I'd drop what I'm doing, and we would go to the Glass Lounge restaurant. What are we hungry for, right? What are we searching for? What are you searching for? What are you longing for in your life? Listen to this. Hunger for the Word of God opens the door for us to hear. Now, don't miss this sentence, okay? Hunger for the Word of God opens the door for us to hear the Word God has for us. He has something personal he wants to say to each one of us in our lives. And it's this hunger that puts us in the place where we can hear that Word he has for us. It's interesting Some time ago, the Lord led some of us here at the church to start doing twice daily devotions. To begin with 30 minutes, 45 minutes in the morning, to end the day with 30 or 45 minutes. Been doing that for a month, 6 weeks now. And the stuff that's coming out of it. We met Wednesday night and with a group that's been doing that and started talking about it. It's amazing. It's amazing. I haven't done it in a while, but these 24-hour prayer retreats where I would go away just by myself for 24 hours. And it was like God had a megaphone. He was holding up to my ear. Storm. This is what I want you to know. Like, I mean, I'd fill up a notebook writing down. When we hunger for God, it opens up that door for that personal word that we are desperate for, that we long for. You know, ironically, hungering for God also can involve not eating food. We call that fasting. And it's an expectation in the New Testament that we're going to fast. Jesus said, when you fast, here's how you do it. And even more when we are committed to fasting and seeking Him, God shows up. Look, we got to be hungry, right? I mean, I want more of God in my life. I want more of His Word in my life. I want more of Him in my life. I want to be part of that group that presses in on Jesus. I want to be so close to Him that He's like, okay, storm, enough. Stop nagging me. Here's the Word for you. I get it. You want me. Yeah, Jesus, I want you. I want more of you. I can't get enough of you. And then we get the Word. Now, here's a story from my life. I love to journal. Well, no, I don't love to journal. Some of you may be in that category with me. You're not writers. You don't love to do that. But I journal anyway because I've been doing it for 20, 25 years, and I've got books of these things, and I can flip open to a page and I can go back to when the word from God came to me. And this is from, listen to this, Psalm 37, or it's from March 18th, 2021. It's from Psalm 37. By the way, I write in pencil. I'm a pencil geek. I want to make sure if I make a mistake, I can erase it. And any pencil geeks out there, are you like me? Okay, there's a few of you. And this is the scripture. It said, God, from Psalm 37:23, God directs the steps of the godly, and He delights in every detail of their lives. It just hit me. God said to me, I delight in every detail of your life, Storm. Because I can drift towards, I'm like an employee of God. Like, okay, staff meeting in the morning, what you got for me to do? Give me my list of to-dos. That's where I drift towards. Anybody relate to that? But God's like, no, listen to me. Not only do I delight in you, I delight in the details of your lives. Man, I don't want to miss those words, right? Can you imagine if I missed that day? And I kept my drift towards employee relationship with God. I mean, I want more and more and more of this. I want it all. And here's the thing. When we hunger for God, when we press in on Jesus, He makes a way to get His word for you, to you. Makes a way to get His word for you, to you. And this is what He did in Luke chapter 5. They're pressing in on Him. So He gets into one of the boats. He didn't ask permission. I love it when Jesus doesn't ask permission. And He gets into Simon's boat. So this is Peter. Simon is not Peter yet, but he's soon going to become Peter. And we see some of Peter's tendencies already in this conversation that he's going to have with Jesus in a minute. He says, push out a little bit from the land. And He sat down and taught the people from the boat. So Jesus sees these fishing boats. They're small and wooden ones. He gets in, pushes back, so they can't press in on Him. He can get some distance so everybody can hear Him. If it was in Schuylkill County, there'd be a pickup truck somewhere nearby. Jesus would have him throw down the back bed, and he'd hop up on the back there and start teaching from the pickup truck, right? That's the Schuylkill County translation of this verse here. So Jesus teaches, and when he's finished, the story goes on. He said to Simon, put out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch. And here we go, Peter. Simon answered, look, we've already worked all night. It's failure. It didn't work. But at your word, I'll let down the nets. So Simon is the professional fisherman here. He says to Jesus, Jesus, you are a good teacher, but we know how to fish. I'm the professional here. We already tried it all night. I just want to finish cleaning up and go home. We failed. We tried, but we failed. How often do we try to build a life, a career, a relationship? Try to parent a child? Try to do something else and fail? Or come to the dead ends, right? Get stuck. We've tried and tried and tried and tried, and it's just not working out. And we get stuck somewhere. We get boxed in and we don't know the way out. Look, Master, we worked all night. We tried. We're tired. We're worn out. It didn't work out, Jesus. It was a failure. Still the dead end. I give up. Nothing's shifting. Nothing's working. No matter what I try in this situation, I can't figure this thing out. I've tried and tried and tried. Can you point back to a time in your life where that was true for you? Maybe some of you are there right now. Now listen to this. Don't miss what I'm about to say to you next. Because this is not in Luke chapter 5, but it is true. Failure is the birthplace of the supernatural. The dead end is the birthplace of the miraculous. This is so often where God gives us the greatest breakthroughs of our lives. It's where God shows up and says, you failed. Good. Because now you get to hear from me. Now you get to know my way. And he might not have caused the failure. Maybe he did. Maybe he blocked them from getting fish that night. That's his way sometimes. Sometimes you fail and that's God's will. What? Yeah. Because he wants to get the credit for your success. Because I've done things in my life and I was proud of myself. Aren't I clever? I'm a clever boy. Right? But there's no selfies going on in failure. Right? In failure, when we fail again and again and again, we're like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know how to manage this. And God's like, yes, I'm about to do something. If, look, this is where we miss it. We're in failure and we stop hungering for God. Because our failures can be so oppressive and difficult that we're like, I just can't do it anymore. But if we stay in that hungering place, the word of God, the personal word from God for you breaks through. Simon says, in his failure, Simon got that word from God, right? Jesus says to him, look, I know you're a professional fisherman. I know you think you're all that. And I'm not a fisherman. But I'm going to tell you how to fish. I'm going to tell you what to do. I'm going to tell you what you need to know most. You know, maybe you're like me. I get stuck somewhere and then I just take matters into my own hands. I come up with my own plan, my own devices. I don't wait on God. I don't stay hungry for God. Because we have a hard time waiting as a people anymore. Waiting for his word, his direction. And then I missed the miracle. I missed the breakthrough. I missed the supernatural. I want to live in the supernatural. I don't want to live in the storm natural. Because that's weak. That's not glorious and amazing and miraculous. So listen, if you're going through failure, depression, or you feel stuck somewhere, don't. Did I say don't enough? Did you get the message? Take matters into your own hands. Look at the person next to you and say, don't take matters into your own hands. If that was a text for me, all those don'ts would have been in capital letters. Don't take matters into your own hands. Don't come up with your own plan. And listen, God has not forgotten you. He hasn't. That's the other thing. We get stuck in places and we think, where is God? And that's part of what he does sometimes too. We think, where is he? I'm praying and hungering and seeking him. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. And I'm getting that back. Nothing. Nada. Zip. He hasn't given up. He hasn't forgotten about you. He has a supernatural breakthrough. He's been waiting to give you, longing to give you. Peter said, I fished all night. Come on, Jesus. I haven't caught a fish. I've tried and tried and tried. I'm at the point of exhaustion. I can't do this anymore. But when you're there, know something's going to break. It's coming. Just wait on the word from God. And that relationship or that job or that financial need or whatever it is. And this is the place you want to be. You get to that dead end, that place of failure, and you say, I give up. I give up. I surrender to you, God. I give it to you. And this becomes our, listen now, don't miss this. This is our happy place. It really is. This is a gift in your life. When you're at that place that you don't know what to do and you're stuck, John or James, the brother of Jesus, said, consider it the height of joy. Be excited in those moments. Because God is about to unleash something in your life. We have a saying here at River Church. It's a sticky little thing, but we like to say it and remember it. I can't, but God can. I can't, but you can, God. I don't know what to do here in this, but you've got it. I can't manage it. Some of you have been waiting for a breakthrough. Just keep waiting. Stay hungry. Stay obedient. And God's going to show up. Now look where he sends Peter. I don't know if you caught this, but it's significant. He sends Peter into the deep. Jesus said to him, put out into the deep. Now, we're going to have a metaphor here, which isn't exactly what Luke intended when he wrote this, but it's still true. The deep places of our lives are the places of our greatest fears, hurts, anxieties, traumas. The deep places where you try to stuff all of that down and manage it yourself. You know, that memory that you can't seem to shake. You try to lock them up. And Jesus says, he says, let me take you there. Let me take you there. It's okay. You can trust me. Jesus says, you don't know what you're doing. You've been asking me for answers. So go with me into the deep place. And the deep places are where miracles happen and breakthroughs and healings and deliverances and blessings beyond our wildest dreams. Peter got a catch of fish that started to sink the boat. It was overwhelming how great the blessing was. But you got to obey. You got to say, yes, Jesus, I trust you. Yes, Jesus, I'll go to this place I don't want to go. Yes, Jesus, I don't like this. I don't like what happened to me. I don't like what was said to me. But Jesus, I trust you. If you want me to go to that deep place, I'll go. I guess it's okay to argue a little bit because Simon did, right? But at the end, we come back to Master, at your word. I've already tried to deal with this stuff, Jesus, but at your word, I'll let down the nets. I'll go to the deep place. So I've had an interesting, I guess, 10 months on an issue in my life. I think sometime last summer, I just started with this inner jitteriness. You know how, like, when you drink too much coffee, you, like, shake? You're like, oh, well, just lay off the caffeine a little bit and it will go away. Well, it started in my life and it didn't go away. And I wasn't drinking caffeine. Just have this jitteriness. And sometimes it would get so bad it would be a distraction. Like, I could be up here speaking and the jitteriness would just be shaking me internally. And you guys think, well, Pastor Storm looks normal today. But I wasn't normal. I was abnormal. It's just, you know, shaking me. So I reached out a couple times to some colleagues to pray with me, and turns out there was a deep place I had to go to get free of this. And it's, I would have never thought this would have been the connection in my life ever. Because, you know, I was trying to be healthy, took out sugar, took out caffeine, tried to do all the things I knew. Figured, well, this is a physical thing, right? Well, the Lord revealed through some prayer ministry time with a couple colleagues who were praying with me that I was carrying grief and sadness in my life. I'm a pretty happy guy. Right now, how you're getting me is how I am most of the time. Goofy and funny and good looking. All of those things all at once. All right. I'm glad no one heckled me on that last part. I didn't know I was carrying any grief, sadness, but they prayed that through with me, and in an hour it was gone. We don't always see the connection between what we're suffering with and the deep places of our lives. How many of you, let's just do a show of hands. How many of you in this room have been in a time of ministry where we were ministering to you, or in another, we go to these other places, conferences and things too, where Jesus led you to a deep place in your life that you did not expect. You didn't see it coming to bring healing into your life. Well, everybody look around. Look at all those hands going up. Wow. It's just what he does. But I got to be honest, I didn't want to go there. I was thinking, isn't there an easier way to do this? But I went along because I trust Jesus, right? Go out into the deep, he told Peter. Follow along with me as we read a little bit on your handout from the handout here. Picking up with verse 6. And when they had done this, they caught a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. Verse 7, and they signaled to the partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they began and filled both the boats, so they began to sink. It is unimaginable to us the blessing that we can get when we're hungry and obedient and let Jesus lead us to the places he wants to lead us. it will be the greatest, most miraculous place you can go in your life. In verse 8, Peter saw it, and he had this visceral reaction. He falls down on his knees before Jesus and says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And Peter's basically saying, "I can't believe this. This was so amazing." And he's thinking, "I thought I knew better. I thought I knew better." Man, if that's not us sometimes, right? "I thought I knew better, Jesus. I thought I could handle this. I thought I could manage it. I failed and failed, but I'm going to keep trying because I'll figure this out eventually." Anybody think that way? Peter was like, "I don't deserve this. I don't deserve your goodness and your blessing in my life." So true to how we are. Isn't this a great story? I love this story. I love the Bible. I mean, it is life to us, isn't it? I mean, if we ended here, if we didn't go to the rest of this story, we ended here, we'd be like, "Wow, that was great. It was worth the price of admission. I'm so glad I came to church." But it's not over. You know why? Because there's another word from God. I love it when God hits me with the repeated words. It's like, "Oh, I'm still digesting that one." He's like, "Oh, but it's not over. I got more for you, buddy." I'm like, "Yes, give it all to me." So there's another word from God here. And as we hunger for God and we press in on Jesus, we get word after word after word. Come on now. Let me hear somebody say amen to that one. Amen. We live a life of hearing from God. You might say, "What's that look like?" Being in Scripture, listening and praying and asking for direction from God. And sometimes he starts speaking to you outside of Scripture. He gives you Holy Spirit's personal words from him. We get to live this life of hearing from God. And so here's the second word from God for Simon. And I don't know if, is Andrew there? I lost track, but I know James and John are there. But he says this to Simon. "Simon, don't be afraid. Stand up. From now on, you will be catching men." This is the best ending to this story ever. I love this. I love it so much. Jesus says to Simon, "Help me fish for people." And Jesus is inviting Peter to be with him. This isn't a job. This is the chance to be with Jesus, to be known by Jesus, to know Jesus, to be learned from him, to be loved by him. Wow. Wow. And when Jesus gives you those invitations to go into people's lives, jump up and down, be so excited. Yes! Because you get to be with him. Not because you... Jesus wants me to go talk to my neighbor. Oh, fine. Jesus is already waiting there. He's there. He's prepared it. Now look, the temptation is to focus on that, you know, on that boatload of fish and think, "Yes, we've hit the jackpot. I can pay the bills now. I can have the vacation home I've always wanted. Get that cabin in the hills or the beach house I want." By the way, if I ever get a beach house, I'm going to share it with all of you, okay? And think, that's the end. That's it. God is good. And we live in that blessing, right? But that's never the end. God leads us to the deep places and heals us up so that he can say, "Come, follow me. I've got something for you." Follow me into the lives of others and help them have breakthroughs. Now, this isn't in the Bible, but it's something we've often found to be true. Listen now to this. The place of our greatest breakthrough, miracle, or healing, the places of where our greatest need was healed, God will enable those formerly weak places to be the breakthrough for somebody else. So God uses our breakthroughs to bring breakthroughs to others. To put it another way, you become powerful in the places you once were weak. Who else could do that but God? You can go to therapy for years and years and years, and I'm not down on therapy. Therapy's good. But that's not going to happen without God. And then you get this anointing from the Holy Spirit where you were weak and hurting to go into somebody else's life and say, come on, I know the way out of that. Jesus sent me here for you. Jesus healed me. He'll heal you too. And you can see the fear in their eyes. What? Yeah. Jesus sent me here. It's okay. Yeah, it's all right. You're not the first person he sent me to. He does this all the time to me. I love it. Man, this is so perfect for Mother's Day. You're like, what? We haven't said the word mother once in this sermon. I know, but listen, this is why it's so perfect. Because, ladies, you get to be spiritual mothers. God's going to send you into, he wants you to have spiritual daughters that you disciple and raise up, and you lead them out of the mess that you used to be in, because you know the way out of it, right? You're not afraid to go into the deep places because you're not afraid of that deep. You know how you're healed? You can dive right back into that deep place and you're like, psh, I'm fine here. This doesn't scare me anymore. And you can go to that deep place with somebody else. And it's okay. Isn't this great, ladies? It doesn't matter your age, how old you are, how young you are. Some of you think, well, I'll never have another child. I'm too old. Oh, don't say that. God might have another spiritual daughter for you. Don't you want that? Yeah. And in case I forget to mention on Father's Day, Dad, you get the same thing, spiritual sons. But this is about the moms today. Dads, don't make it about you today. Don't even think about it. You're a servant today. Just look at your wife or significant other and say, I'm here to serve you today. Go ahead, man. Even if they're not a mom, it doesn't matter. Just say it to them. It's good practice. And so what we're going to do here, we're going to honor not just those who have birthed the child, but all women here are going to get honored today because you are spiritual mothers, whether you've had a spiritual daughter yet or not. That's God's will. This is what Jesus is saying. He's saying to you, the hurt you've been through, ladies, he wants to send you into the life of somebody else to lead them through that and so that they can experience healing. Do you believe that? So at some point, you'll have to go to a deep place. Don't argue with Jesus about it. I mean, I guess, yeah, I already said it. Simon argued a little bit. It's okay for a little bit. But you can trust Jesus. Listen, God has a life for you that is greater than your wildest dreams. You could spend the rest of your life trying to put together this perfect dream life and never get there. And Jesus is like, just follow me. I've got it. It's not where you think it is. It's not where you're going to end up. You got the wrong destination. Most of us, when we started out, we had the wrong destination in mind. It's through hunger, the deep places, the blessing, and then into the life of other people. And it's living a life that matters. That's what Jesus offers us. Man, don't you love this story from Luke chapter 5? It's just so great. It's so great. Let's pray together. Oh, wow. Sometimes we just got to go, wow, wow. Jesus, you are amazing. Just amazing. Thank you for what you've said to us today. Help us to take it into our heart and our life, to own it, to believe it, to not think, wasn't that a nice Sunday service, and to walk away and it makes no difference in us. Give us one thing from you today that we will never forget, never forget. Because we don't want to miss out on this life you have for us. Oh, and we pray for one another today, those that have some deep places that you want to take them, Jesus, that you give them the courage to go there, to not be afraid, to have the complete and total healing that you want for them. Give it that courage and belief and love. Just wrap them in your love and help them to know that you will always take care of them. Thank you, God. So good to us. So good. You know, we didn't talk about this, Jesus, but we also thank you that you take our biggest sin, our biggest places of disobedience that we've tried to stuff down. Maybe they're huge. Maybe they're enormous. And you say to us, I can even heal you of that. I even want to go into that dark place in your life that you don't ever want to think about again and bring healing and deliverance to you there. Thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you. So would you just repeat this prayer after me? Jesus, I trust you. I trust you so much. And if you want to send me out into the deep, I'll go. I know you love me. And I'll go into that deep place also for the sake of others. I want to have some spiritual children. I want them badly. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.